Afternoon. Reading this afternoon is from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 30, and it can be found on 944 the Church Bible. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. This is the word of the Lord.
This afternoon, in our ongoing look at Romans chapter 8, we come to perhaps the best known verse in the whole of the chapter. Verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. I wonder, how do you respond to this verse? Does it reassure you of God's providence and his grace? Or does it bring fear or maybe confusion? There are certainly some very strong statements in this one verse. We know all things, his purpose. Very strong declarations there. And verse 28 that we're looking at leads on very much into verse 29, which leads very much into verse 30. In fact, those few last few verses that we heard read are interdependent. And you may therefore think it rather odd that I'm only going to take verse 28 this afternoon, when it really is a bigger passage than that. And whilst we don't want in any way to dislodge the context of any verse in Scripture, there is, however, more than enough, I think, for us to consider by focusing on this one this afternoon. First of all, let's think of this. We know. What are we saying here? Well, firstly, we're saying that all things don't just happen to work out for good on their own. People speak, don't they, about coincidence, of luck, both good and bad, of fate, of chance, of the roll of the dice. Paul is saying here that the believer rests in the truth that God providentially works all things together for the good of his people. And that ultimately, it is all in accordance with his eternal purpose. The Christian believes in God's providence. The Christian believes in God's sovereignty. What do we mean by both of those statements? Well, first of all, the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God is his absolute and his ultimate authority and rule over everything in this world that he has made. The whole creative order is held together by him. Therefore, he is sovereign over history. He is sovereign over every detail of our lives. That's what we mean when we talk about the sovereignty of God. What about providence? The providence of God is the outworking, if you like, of that sovereignty, where God continually upholds and guides and cares for his creation. Absolutely everything that needs to be done to bring about his purposes, God sees to it that it happens. And so back here in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Paul gives this amazing declaration about providence when he says that everything, even evil, works for our well-being and for God's glory. You see, there's really no other way of interpreting providence. How do we feel about that? It may seem that Paul is taking quite a leap here when he opens these great words in this verse by saying, we know. We know. Isn't he being a little bit presumptuous? Can we know? And okay, Paul, you might feel you know, but can we know? Well, the Christian can. Can we be sure? Well, the Christian can. How can we say that we know? Well, first of all, we know because the Bible says so. We know because, as we saw back in verse 16 of this great chapter, the Holy Spirit, part of the eternal Godhead, himself bears witness with our spirit, our innermost being, that we are children of God. And the fact that the Holy Spirit testifies to that with our spirit, we know, we can therefore have confidence. And therefore, we might not understand everything, but we can say, we know. What an amazing thought that is, that God witnesses to his truth in our hearts. And God cannot be truthful in some things and yet be untruthful in others. And so, as a believer this afternoon, I can say, I know because I believe. I know because God is sovereign. Try rehearsing some of the wonderful I know declarations in the Bible. Here's a few examples. Job 19, 25, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on the earth. Psalm 9, verse 10, those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. 1 John 4, verse 16, and so we know and rely on the love of God, that the love of God that has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. I know. We know. But notice that Paul relates this knowledge that he begins the verse with to those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. It is therefore a promise that only the Christian can embrace. only the Christian can say, I know. Later in this great chapter, we will bask in the wonder of God's love for us. What can separate us from the love of God? But here, Paul is talking about our love for God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. It's interesting, isn't it? Do I love God? Because that's a distinguishing feature of the Christian, that we love God. That we love love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Yet the identity of the Christian is not just that we love God, but that we have been called according to his purpose. And so the question this afternoon is this: have you heard God calling you to come from darkness to light, from death to life? Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 1 verse 11 concerning our salvation. He writes this: in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. There's a lot in that to unpack, isn't there? But what about this? According to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Our salvation, our eternal life, is all tied up with the faithfulness of God and the perfection of his counsel and purpose. This isn't a promise to everyone. It's to those who love him, those who he has called by grace to be his children. Have you heard that call to follow Christ? What greater confidence can we have in God's purposes being fulfilled but to look at the cross? For the believer, all things work for good. But let's not misunderstand that. Let's move on from this wonderful thought that we know and think about perhaps the challenging part of that. All things. All things. It's all right, the Bible saying all this to us. But how does it work out now? How does it relate to what I'm going through now? The uncertainties that I'm facing. And you know, I indicated earlier in our prayer, but within the church family, there are a lot of things going on that are really difficult providence that's in people's lives, real struggles. Real challenges. So let's be clear about what Paul is not saying here. He's not suggesting that all things are good in the believer's life. Nor is he suggesting that everything will turn out for our happiness in this life. I don't know whether that's what you were expecting. But to say that would deny or certainly minimize the reality of suffering and evil. There are many things that are not good, and you don't need me to tell you that. Things don't always just turn out for the best, and Paul's not saying that they will. And it certainly is not his experience. But God has a purpose that cannot be thwarted. In Job 42, verse 2, Job is brought to this conclusion as he stands before God. He says this: I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Now, that's a great statement in itself, but you look in the previous 41 chapters and see the story of Job. then you begin to see just what a great statement of faith this is. All that he suffered, all that he went through, all his doubts and fears. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. As the song puts it, the work which your goodness began, the arm of your strength will complete. Your promise is yes and amen, and never was forfeited yet. The future of all things that are now, no power below or above can make you your purpose forgo or sever my soul from your love. Nothing that happens can sever me from his love, as those later verses of our chapter conclude and affirm. And even our sin and our sinfulness cannot thwart God's plan. God has a purpose that cannot be wrong. There is no wasted suffering in our experience. There is no purposeless experience throughout the totality of our life. And that might be hard sometimes to hear, because perhaps we have been through some very difficult times that come even to mind now as we're talking about this. Not easy to hear, and certainly if I did not know God as my Savior and as my Father, I could never ever make sense of it, and I certainly would struggle to accept it. And yet in every single isolated event, God in his wisdom uses it to bring about his purpose and for his glory. That's what Paul is saying here in Romans 8:28. He's saying it for encouragement to every believer in any difficult circumstance of life. I love the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, book of Genesis. Having greatly suffered at the hands of his own brothers, years later, he can say to them in Genesis 50, verse 20, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." And if you trace the story of Joseph in Genesis 3, you see it time and time again where it seems to all be going wrong, and that God in his providence and grace is there. And so the all things of Romans 8 verse 28 is a tough one, because those all things include the sufferings of verse 18 and the tribulation, distress and danger, etc. of verse 35. And all the things that we think really ought to be excluded from the all things. The word all only contains three letters, and yet it seems to me to be the biggest word in the verse. We're going to see that in verse 29, that God is at work in the believer's life, making us more like Jesus Christ. Not making us richer, not making us healthier, not making us famous. Sometimes in our zeal to protect God's honor, I guess, we try to explain why bad things happen to good people. But the point is, we can't always understand, can we? We can't work that one out. There are things that cannot be explained except by submitting to the sovereignty of God. And that's not easy for the unbeliever to accept. But to us as believers, it is the certainty of what we know that enables us to accept what we don't know and don't understand. When there are things you struggle with, maybe even this verse, we look at it on the basis of the things you do know about God, the things you do know about his care, his love, his greatness. The story is told of a professor who ended his lecture one day by saying to his class of seminary students, "Tomorrow I will be teaching on Romans 8. So tonight, as you study, pay special attention to verse 28. Notice what this verse truly says and what it doesn't say." And then he added, "One final word before I dismiss you. Whatever happens in all the years to come, remember Romans 8:28 will always hold true." Later that same day, the professor, Dr. Caldwell, and his wife, they met with a tragic accident. She was killed instantly, and he was crippled permanently. Months later, the professor returned to his students, who clearly remembered those last words before he sent them from his lecture. The room was hushed as he began his lecture. Romans 8:28, he said, still holds true. One day we shall see God's good even in this. All things work together for good, together for good. We might tend to look at each isolated thing, but God is working things out together for our good, for his purpose. And remember, Romans 8:28 still holds true. One day we shall see God's good, even in this. We know all things.